Good afternoon. I would like to present some results of a study we've done with chronic pain patients. I worked together in this study with the Flemish Pain League, so I would like to thank them for their collaboration. As most of you probably know, chronic pain condition is a very devastating condition, and it's widespread in Europe as it is in the United States. In Europe, almost 1 out of 5 individuals suffer from a chronic pain condition. It has a very detrimental impact on the life of the patients, but also on the life of the family surrounding the patient, and it has a high financial cost for the society. If you ask chronic pain patients whether they are happy or satisfied with their treatment, they often say they are not satisfied with it. The traditional pain treatments seems often not able to relieve pain or increase quality of life of the chronic pain patient. So there is at the moment a lot of investigational research going on to look for more alternative or complementary pain treatments. And there is an increasing interest in spiritual or religious factors in those personal pain treatments. This is not strange, this interest for religiosity or spirituality in chronic pain condition or chronic pain patients, because chronic pain condition often triggers existential questions. Is my life meaningful if I have to suffer so much pain? Where is a divine being, or where is God in my pain? And if you look at some research, they also report this link between pain patients and their interest in religion or in spirituality. For example, if you look at prayer, prayer is mentioned as the second most often coping mechanism or response to pain after taking pain medication. So if we take those two things together, first, on the one hand, the dissatisfaction of pain patients with their treatment, and on the other hand, their interest in religious factors, it seems necessary to investigate whether religious factors can mean something in the personal pain treatment. So in our study, we wanted to focus in that on that topic, prayer in pain experience, and we want to frame our research in the meaning-making model. The meaning-making model is a recent model elaborated by Crystal Park, and it's an adaptation on more traditional coping models, for example, the coping model of Lazarus and Folkman. But the meaning-making model focuses explicitly on severe chronic stressors who are most of the time unsolvable. For example, bereavement, a very severe diagnosis, confrontation with a very severe diagnosis. And then in that kind of stressors, controlling the stressor or solving the stressor is most of the time not possible. And then the theme of meaning comes in front and seems to be more important in coping with the stressor. A few words on the meaning-making model. The meaning-making model assumes that every person has a meaning system. This meaning system can have a transcendent content with a divine being or a god, but can also have a secular content with humanistic values or based in a philosophical tradition. When someone is confronted with a stressor, for example, chronic pain, he will first try to make an appraisal of that stressor. And in the case of chronic pain, it will be a negative appraisal. So the patient will try to give a meaning to the stressor, and in the first moments, it will be a negative meaning. For example, this pain condition is a threat for me. If you then compare the two, the appraised meaning and the meaning system, there is often discrepancy between it. For example, an individual has a meaning system, a religious meaning system, with the idea that there is a benevolent God who takes care of his people, and suddenly he's confronted with chronic pain. This creates a distress and a discrepancy between the condition he's in and his meaning system that is formed throughout his childhood and further on. Now, Crystal Park assumes that when there is this discrepancy, this creates a lot of stress. And in order to solve this stress, patients or individuals have to start doing meaning-making processes. They have to get involved in meaning-making processes. If an individual is able to go through this meaning-making process in a benevolent, constructive, stimulating way, this might result in a better adaptation to the stressor. So we use this theoretical framework as our framework for our prayer study. What we focused on is prayer as a specific and useful aspect of a meaning system for religious individuals. Then we focused on reappraisal, a specific cognitive emotional process, a reinterpretation, a positive reinterpretation of a stressor. And then concerning adaptation, specific for this population, we focused on pain tolerance and pain intensity. Pain intensity, just the severity of your pain, and pain tolerance, how are you able to function despite of your pain. Pain tolerance goes in the direction of disability. So what was the purpose of our study? We wanted to investigate whether prayer was a valuable psychosocial coping mechanism for those experiencing chronic pain. The underlying idea was that maybe prayer can offer some situation in which cognitive processing can be stimulated. And this might lead to a better adaptation to the pain. So in a schematic view, in a figure, we wanted to check whether prayer was related with pain tolerance and or pain intensity. And we wanted to see whether cognitive reappraisal was a mediator in this association. So we assumed that prayer would stimulate cognitive reappraisal and that cognitive reappraisal would stimulate a healthy adaptation to pain. So with the help of the Flemish Pain League, we were able to send questionnaires to chronic pain patients, and 202 chronic pain patients filled out our questionnaires. We asked information on socio-demographic variables, several aspects of pain, duration, severity, and pain tolerance. We investigated prayer, and we used the positive reinterpretation and growth scale of the COPE instrument of Carver and colleagues to measure cognitive reappraisal. So first, I show you some correlations. As you can see, prayer was not related with pain severity, but it was with pain tolerance. And that was one of our hypotheses. Amy Wachholz, who's a pain clinicist, is doing some theorizing around the difference between pain intensity and pain tolerance, and the strange findings that patients can have exactly the same level of pain intensity, but one is doing better, is more able to function, seeing friends, doing the household, while the other is just able to lay in the bed and rest. So we think that pain tolerance, disability, has more to do with a cognitive process, and so it's not strange that prayer influences or is associated with pain tolerance, but not with pain intensity. Second, we see that prayer is also connected to reappraisal. So it was our main idea that the two would be have something in common. And then reappraisal, as is often mentioned and showed in literature, shows a strong correlation with pain tolerance. Individuals who are able to positively reinterpret their pain condition show a better adaptation towards the pain. Then we started some mediation analyses, and the first one you see, prayer has no, in the regression analysis, no association with pain severity, so no mediation has to be tested. And the second one, you can see that prayer in the hierarchical regression was associated with pain tolerance, so here we started mediation analysis. The other two criteria were also affirmed. Prayer was related with cognitive reappraisal, and reappraisal was related with pain tolerance. So we used bootstrapping methodology to test for the significance of our mediator, because we had a rather small sample, and we also have skewness in our variables. So Preacher and Hayes then say that bootstrapping methodology is better than Sobel testing. We choose for 3,000 resembles, and the statistics show that indeed reappraisal was a significant mediator in the effect between prayer and pain tolerance. But we had another question. After this part of analysis, we were thinking back on earlier research in which we found that religious factors are indeed important for chronic pain patients, but especially for chronic pain patients who are believers, and not for pain patients who are unbelievers, which is, of course, logical. So we wondered whether there would be a moderational effect of religiosity on the findings I just showed you. And as you can see, this was indeed the case. Here you can see the result of the moderation analysis for prayer and pain intensity. The full line are the religious non-affiliated chronic pain patients, and as you can see, the line is almost horizontal. We conducted simple slope analysis, and there was no effect for religious non-affiliated chronic pain patients. So low prayer, high prayer, no association with pain intensity. On the other hand, you see the dotted line. Those are the religious affiliated chronic pain patients. And there you can see a very nice result. A higher prayer is related with lower pain intensity. You can see a very similar pattern for pain tolerance. Again, the full line, the religious non-affiliated, no effect at all. But on the other hand, the religious affiliated, you see that higher prayer is related with higher pain tolerance. So, to come to some conclusions, we can say that prayer in this study seemed to positively relate to aspects of the pain experience, but this relationship is especially important for religious chronic pain patients and not for non-religious chronic pain patients. So it can be that prayer is a useful factor in pain management, but only for pain patients who are religious. Second, we saw that positive reappraisal was able to mediate the relationship between prayer and pain tolerance. So our ideas that prayer might stimulate cognitive reappraisal seems to be affirmed in this study. We assume that prayer might offer for a pain patient the moment, the time, the condition to engage in this kind of cognitive emotional processing. Of course, this was only a small study. The study was part of a larger study on meaning making with chronic pain patients, and it has several limitations. First of all our patients were members of a patient's association, and we know already that the coping profile of patients in a patient's association is different than the patients in a pain clinic. So it's possible that our patients are more easily engaged in active coping processing. So it would be nice to do the same study in a pain clinic. Second, because it was only part of a larger study, we had a very simple operationalization of a prayer. Not to say a far too simple operationalization. We need to focus more on different types of prayer, the content of prayer, but also, for example, prayer expectancies. What do you think your prayer will do? Because in the study of Crowes, it was shown that this is a very important predictor towards adaptation or well-being. It was a cross-sectional study, so we cannot say how the associations are, in which direction. This is especially important concerning pain, because research shows that when pain levels are going high, people respond with prayer. So we don't know whether our direction is going from pain to prayer or from prayer to pain. At the moment, we are in the middle of setting up daily diary studies with a small sample of chronic pain patients. They will receive a questionnaire every day, and they are asked to give information on their pain level as well as on aspects of prayer and aspects of mood and functioning. And we hope with this daily diary study to see more the fluctuations of pain and how this is related with prayer and adaptation. Another thing is that in this study we focused predominantly on a positive effect of prayer. Prayer offers the possibility to engage in reappraisal processing, but it's also possible that prayer has a negative effect. You might imagine that prayer offers the possibility to start ruminating, to start brooding instead of going to reappraisal. And of course that might have a negative influence on the adaptation to chronic pain. So thank you for your attention.